Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pastrnak, send it out in front of Malkin, the save, they score! It squirts to the slot. Lindholm to Pastrnak. Shoots, blocked. Pastrnak gets it back. He scores.
After the review, Boston player played the puck with a high stick.
And that'll do it. The Boston Bruins play to their identity. Hard-nosed and stingy. Elias Lindholm with a game winner, and Jonas Korpisalo with his second shutout of the season. He stopped all 21.
Bruins blank Utah, the hockey club last night.
That was unnecessary. Nick, you didn't need to include the high stick there in the...
I was just going to say, if you're watching on Twitch.tv...
I had to tell the whole story, I'm sorry.
/ Boston WEEI. Yeah, exactly. He's a very detailed game recap, Keith. How dare you?
Holy smokes.
We always encourage you to watch on Twitch or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. There's always reasons to do so, but you saw... Keith, you seem disgusted with that win. The Bruins won, Keith. Why are you so disgusted? What's wrong?
Well, I almost had everything. I had a nice little parlay going, and it involved a Pastrnak goal and the Bruins to win by two. And it happened. They even put it on the board. They literally put it on the board. They announced the goal, 2-0, minute to go. They're like, let's take a look at it. They're like, the Boston player used a high stick. I'm like, come on. So it went from being a cheap win, admittedly a cheap win, he almost scored on an empty netter, to really a bad beat. Because the money was in the account, and then they were like, oh no, just kidding, it's not a goal anymore.
It ran the gamut from a cheap win to a bad beat. That is true. So Keith down bad today, but the Bruins did win last night. You had a good take on Corpy, very good in net last night, so you really did almost have everything.
Yeah.
And it all went crumbling down. There's a pizza from the Trading Post in Bourne.
Right, knock it off.
That I think I count 10 boxes of bar pizza in here, Keith. I just grabbed, I don't know what you guys grabbed back there, Billy.
Can you put 5 of them on my desk and I'll get them on Monday?
Billy and Nick, I don't know what you guys grabbed. I grabbed, and I heard about this from the guys from the Trading Post.
Great.
It's a meatball, pepperoni, ricotta, hot honey. That's like their staple signature bar pizza.
Get some of that.
And I just grabbed a slice of that. Some jalapeno and pineapple as well. Pineapple, Keith, you heard that, right? It's Friday night.
He's seething over there.
Are you done with the pizza?
Did we lose Keith? Oh, no, he's there.
I'm
still
out. I left the show.
Okay,
the show's
so
over.
Keith down bad there.
Pizza Friday. I bring my daughter to school. She's all excited because she has pizza on Fridays.
Well, my kid has pizza Friday, too.
It's great.
Nice.
It's a great day.
Good for them.
Yeah.
And we gave you the Bozo touchdown parlay earlier this hour if you missed any of that. It's on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. We'll get to our Friday four-pack of questions for Patriots and Dolphins coming up about 15 minutes from now. In the meantime, before we really sink our teeth in on the Bruins, let's get to some phone calls here. Dan is in Haverhill waiting patiently on the Pats. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Sure.
I was just going to say, I think it's corporate timidity. If you've ever worked in a corporate environment and you listen to anyone like that, from the top bottom, I wouldn't blame Marcus Jones. I'd blame him last of all. But Gerard Mayo, I think that's what you get when you have a hand-picked coach by the owner. It's like the Jerry Jones kind of mentality, wherein he's timid to go and make changes on his own, make suggestions. You know, Marcus Jones during training camp isn't going to walk over and say, hey, can I do drills with you know, X, Y, or Z. You know, that'd be out of line, I think, for him. But I think for no one to have the thought or cojones from the top down, it's just this corporate timidity. And I think it starts with the fact that Kraft maybe didn't have too many outside voices.
Okay, well, Dan, if you really want to wind it back to right the hiring of Jerod Mayo, fine. I think it's a Mayo story. I said the Marcus Jones thing tongue in cheek, like
yeah.
I guess somewhere
I don't blame him.
I have him somewhere on the list, like maybe pipe up a little sooner. But that's mostly joking around. Like it's a Mayo story to me.
Yeah, it's Mayo, Wolf, and Van Pelt. I think those are the three guys. All of them. I think Elliot Wolf putting out the roster. I would assume he's like, hey, I'm going to let the coaches coach, but I'm assembling this roster with the idea that these guys are going to be used in a certain way. And I think when you're talking to Alex Van Pelt before the season even starts about, all right, who you have, how does that not get brought up? Like, oh, by the way, you know, if you want to use this guy too, we've done it in the past. There's some success there. I know I've given you 12 receivers to figure out, but here's another guy that you might be able to use. It's insane. It's insane that it took to week 11 to figure that out.
Well,
it's crazy.
By the way, I don't forget if it was in that clip or not. It might have been in a separate clip. But my favorite thing after the, obviously Marcus has some juice, is he's like, oh, well, he texted me late the week before.
Right.
And it was too late to get it in the game plan. It's like, what do you mean?
So now he doesn't get back to people on time?
I've heard a million stories from, like, Brady and McDaniels over the years where, like, Tom Brady was like, yeah, it was a Saturday night, but we just had to get something in the game plan. Alex Van Pelt is like, hey, he didn't talk to me until Friday. Next week. Like, it's just, that's another sign, and not to compare the situation to Brady.
No.
But just the sign of the lack of adaptability and open-mindedness. Like, what a terrible, terrible, terrible story that was for the Patriots.
Also, such a misfire on Van Pelt. I think he thought it was kind of funny. Like, I think...
Well, it got a laugh in the room. Like, the very beginning of it, it did get a laugh in the room. And he's like, no, seriously.
Well, right. I think it got a laugh in the room because they thought he was being sarcastic initially, and he wasn't. And then I think he thought it was funny, like, yeah, like, that's all on him. And, like, I had to Google Marcus Jones. I didn't even know about Marcus Jones. There's no way he knew how bad it sounded when he was saying it.
No.
And maybe after the fact, somebody was like, dude, you look and sound like a moron.
I agree.
Now.
He thought it was funny and, like, a nice little anecdote. And he probably was trying to give credit to Marcus Jones. That probably is what he was actually trying to do. Yeah. But he wound up sounding incompetent.
Correct.
Which is what the Patriots are. The Bruins had been incompetent. They got a win last night. Mark in Medford with thoughts on that. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. So, what I expected last night from the Bruins was for them to actually come out and resemble a friggin' hockey team. And they did that last night. But what I liked even more was that Joe Sacco grew a set because Jeremy Swayman was supposed to have a scheduled start last night. He started Corposalo last night. And what he should do tomorrow is go right back to Corposalo. Tell Swayman we're going to go with Corpy. He's playing well right now. We got a back-to-back coming up soon. You will get in there. But for right now, I'm going to go with Eunice.
Okay. So we were going to get to this eventually, Keith. Let's do it in reverse order from what we were planning on doing. We'll start with the goalies. You wanted Corposalo last night. I didn't like that move. You got it, and you were right. Score one for Keith.
Yep. First start of the game, Corposalo.
First start of the new Joe Sacco era. So that worked well last night. They played better in front of him. He played... fine. He was bailed out by a couple of posts, but he made the saves he had to. So he was fine. I wouldn't go overboard in how good he was, but he was good enough last night. They needed to allow no goals to win. He allowed no goals. Give him credit for that. Do you agree with Mark and go back to him in the game on Saturday? I think it's Detroit.
Yep, I do. I wouldn't before. Like yesterday when we were talking it out, I was like, all right, you start with this guy. He's been playing better. But I think one of the reasons he's playing well is you're not relying on him every night. That was his eighth game played of the season last night. So he's not somebody, I think he proved it last year, like he's not going to carry you. He's not going to play. I don't want him playing 41 of the games, right? I don't want a direct split for the season, but I do want a split for right now. But getting a win the way that they did, him getting a shutout, and you're not playing tonight, I'd throw him out there again. He's playing much better.
So, but after one game, because you just said yesterday you didn't feel this way. So after one game, you're gonna lean in on – you didn't even want Corpy on the team. Now you're leaning in and starting him multiple games in a row.
Yeah, because I wanted Swayman on the team, and he sucks so far.
He
and
sucks.
I didn't want Corposalo, and he's been better. So I'll just look at what these guys have done this season. You know, Corposalo was horrible a year ago. He's been better. It's not the first time a goalie – plays better than they really are type of thing, right? Like they can get kind of hot, and there it feels like there's a little bit of momentum with him. So I would at least give him another game. I don't think you want to string too many together. And also, there's a big difference. You know, did they win 4-3 last night, or did they win one zip?
Right.
The guy got a shutout, so I'll toss him out again.
I believe second shutout of the year, if I'm not mistaken, which is one more than Jeremy Swayman. So, look, Here's my feeling on it. I get trying to maximize every point you can. I get Joe Sacco trying to do that for multiple reasons. You want to wake the team up, you want to do your job, and you want the job long term. So I get all that, like new sheriff in town, here's how we're running things, I'm going to start this guy, we're going to lean in and chase every single point. If we make the playoffs, maybe I keep the job. I get that. I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I think the most realistic avenue to making the playoffs and potentially even making a run in the playoffs is getting Jeremy Swayman right. And I would be I wouldn't do this forever, but I would still be willing to, in the meantime, in theory, sacrifice a point or two to not create an even wider rift, if there is one, and there are certainly suggestions of it. You were reading some of the Fluto points the other day. Widen the rift between Jeremy Swayman and his teammates. And all I know is last night didn't help that rift. Last night they look at it and go, we can win with this guy. We're not winning with the other guy. Last night did not help. Leaning in on Corpusalo for another game against Detroit wouldn't help. So I even acknowledge it might be better for the team short term. It might get you more points short term. And if you're desperate to get points right now on November 22nd and you want to sell out for points, that's the right way to go about it. I just think you need to get Swayman fixed and you need to repair the damage in the dressing room between he and his teammates. And I don't think last night did that. And I think sticking with Corpusalo for a couple of games and ripping off a win streak, it's good. You're getting points. But that may be short-sighted to me because long term, you've got to get Swayman right.
I do think, Swayman's the better goalie. So, yes, like if this team makes the playoffs, like game one, it better be Swayman or we got a real story on our hands. But right now, I do think they need to dig themselves out of this hole. I think if you're starting the season in a way like, all right, it's now a 62-game season with Joe Sacco, you want to get out to a hot start. And right now, Corpusalo is the better guy. Last two games for Swayman, he's allowed 12 goals. And I also think, if there is a rift, and I know there's like sort of conflicting whether there is or not with teammates in there, I think you can actually repair it by not playing if you're Swayman. If Swayman has a decent attitude as a backup for two games, right? I'm not sitting him for the month, but if he's still a good teammate.
Let me give you a Patriots example. Kendrick Bourne.
100%. Good one. Yeah, so like keep the right attitude. I think they get a lot of points because they know he's pissed. Any player who's not playing is pissed. It's whether or not they show it or whether or not they say stuff. It's whether or not they go to social media, whether or not whatever, sulk. But if he practices like with intensity like he's going to play and then is a good teammate on the bench for the game on Saturday against Detroit and then gets the call next Tuesday, that could go a long way. Because as the last call Mark mentioned, Tuesday, Wednesday, they got a back-to-back coming up. So no doubt you're going to play both goalies in that game. But I also like the idea that Sacco's coming in and he's saying, right now, we need to play the best guys. So the same thing, like, say there was a decision on the fourth line, who's the best guy right now, or the third line, like, who's the best guy? Put that guy in. Or your defensive pairings. Right now, Corpusalo's better. I give him another game. And then with this, Swayman's going to have an opportunity probably, Tuesday home against Vancouver. That's when I would play Swayman again and see what he does with it.
Okay, so how would you handle the goalies? They play better in front of Corpusalo. I think that's not a debate to this point in time. We'll see if it continues. We'll see how long that lasts. This is a guy, by the way, a lot of you didn't want on the team. I'm not even just calling you out, Keith. A lot of you say, why is he part of the return for Ullmark? Now you want to lean in and ride the hot hand with Corpusalo. So just that's an example of how things have changed with Jeremy Swayman this year. Who plays on Saturday against Detroit? How do you handle the goalies moving forward? Are you a fan of what Joe Sacco did last night? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Was that the response you were looking for last night, Keith? I'm not talking about the result. Of course, it's the result we were all looking for. They won. But they get one goal. It was still like an ineffective power play. I know they scored on the power play. They needed seven of them, for God's sakes. There were more shots. The team looked livelier. It's the result we wanted. Was that the response you wanted to the Montgomery firing?
Yeah, I wasn't I don't think it was realistic to think that all of a sudden this team was going to turn into like a scoring juggernaut or anything like that. Like, yeah, 1-0, you're like, all right, you need a little bit more. But just the style of play, I did think was a sign that, like, all right, maybe the message got through a little bit. You know, they completely outshot Utah. They were way out in front at one point. Then Utah kind of came back in, but I think they still outshot them by like 10. They out-hit them.
Yeah, it was 31-21, yep.
You know, they had more hits. They, you know, a couple of fights, and like there was, it felt like there was good energy there. Like I was watching on TV, I wasn't in the building, but like it felt like there was good energy. It was much more of a crisp game, and I think the bar has been lowered so low that you could just sort of step over it. Like effort and intensity, I felt like was there compared to previous games.
So that's ultimately why I would answer it yes. I would answer that is the response I was looking for. I don't think it was a clear-cut, decisive victory for that camp. I don't want to overstate what the Bruins did last night or give them too much credit. Again, you beat a terrible, terrible Utah Hockey Club 1-0. You were hanging on for dear life at the end of the game. So I don't want to overstate it, but I got to pick one. Was it the response I was looking for? Not the result. The response, yes or no?
Yeah, it was.
You highlighted it. 31 shots. They came out buzzing around. I think it was 15 in the opening period. They outshot them 15-5. In the first period, they outshot him in the second period a bit as well before going into a touch of a shell. They had 7 power plays. Utah is the second most penalized team in the league. You're the first. So you knew there were going to be a lot of power plays last night. You scored a goal on the power play. Lindholm scored for the first time since his third game back before Columbus Day. I think it was October 12th, if I'm not mistaken. And then you go into the box score. And you felt this, I think, in real time. You didn't get your goal last night, Keith.
No, I didn't.
But Pastrnak had 5 shots on goal.
Yeah, that's big.
Zacha had 5 shots on goal. Marchand, 4 shots on goal. Lindholm scored. Like, the guys we've been
huge
criticizing.
For Lindholm. We talked about that yesterday. Like, all eyes were going to be on Lindholm. Or you actually said Lindholm had the most pressure.
I did. I did. I didn't want to pat myself on the back, but I did, yes.
Yeah, he stepped up, and I'm sure Don Sweeney was staring daggers at Elias Lindholm. Like, hey, maybe get something going here, please. I could use your help. And then he scores, so that was good, at least for now. And then, you know, you saw some fights and stuff like that, which was,
well, that's,
you know,
true,
you don't
too.
Need it every time. But Kastelic, he almost had, like, a kill shot on the second one. He, like, just missed. He got a follow-up in there, but he had one where it was, like, oh, my God, it would have, like, knocked teeth out, I think, if he connected.
No, I think, look, that's a good sign, too. The team is, they're looking to provide energy. Kastelic was in the lineup. He had 2 fights with Bortuzzo last night. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In that second fight where he thought he got the butt end of a stick or a high stick or something like that, and he came after Bortuzzo.
There's a ground and pound. Usually when those guys hit the deck, they kind of stop. He threw more punches down on the ice than he did standing.
Yeah, like, so wow. Look, I like that. I love that, again, Pastrnak, Marchand, Zacha, you noticed them. There's been way too many games you didn't notice those guys. Lindholm wasn't exactly buzzing around, but he did score last night. Let's give him credit for that. So ultimately, it was the response you wanted out of the Bruins. They make the right decision on firing Jim Montgomery through one game. Certainly looks that way. 617-779-7937. One thing I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
That first period. Were they 0-3 in the first period on the power play? I think they were 0-3.
Sounds right.
The crowd, you said this yesterday, Keith. You're like, if they come out and they're flat, and you, the way you framed it was if they're down 2-0, would the crowd get on them?
Yep.
It never got to that, but the crowd was on them last night when they were not scoring on the power play early.
Right.
And yeah, so and the fan base early on last night was teetering.
The power play, I feel like every year is always such a major discussion, and it's either it's one extreme or the other. It feels like there's been a couple of years where they're outrageous and they can only score on the power play. Then there are other years where it's like not you'd rather not be. You'd rather give it up and be like, no, we're good, even strength. And I still feel like they have the talent to have a good power play. Like, they have 5 guys that you could put out there that should be able to light up. You know, you have...
They should. They don't, but they should.
Lindholm and Marchand, like McAvoy, like that should be a good power play group. It has not been.
No, it has not. So again, was that the response you were looking for last night? What do you think of the Joe Sacco era so far, one game in? And how do you handle the goalies moving forward? Like, do you go to Swayman on Saturday? Do you stick with Korpisalo? How do you feel about the potential rift between Swayman and the Bruins dressing room, which has been emerging here over the past few days? Might have been part of the reason Sacco went with Korpisalo in that game last night. Again, 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Friday. Here on Jones and Keefe, we have Keefe's Keys on the way at 1 o'clock sharp. We have guests from the Patriots, DeMarcus Covington, and a player, TBD, here on the program.
Mystery player.
It's a mystery player will be joining us at some point at a mystery time on the show today. We have the Week in Review at 11:45, and we have a four-pack of questions for the Pats and Dolphins.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, no, it's we were trying to put stress on the safety, the half field safety there, so we had Pop running down the middle, and I think Booty up on the outside on the conversion. So that's a 2-on-1 ball on the safety. It's something we had talked about, just weren't on the same page with Pop as far as when that ball was going to come up. I think the read was right. I think Pop looks a little bit earlier. He gets his head back and catches the ball. So again, just growing pains of a young offense and young players. You know, we just need to continue to coach off of our mistakes and not make them again. You know, but the ball went to the right spot. You know, I just think we weren't on the same page.
Alex Van Pelt yesterday, he put the interception on Pop Douglas, Keith.
Yeah, didn't just say straight up miscommunication. That was sort of the company line after the game. Drake May took the high road and kind of put it on himself, but I think that's just what a good teammate would do. And, no confusion there. Alex Van Pelt says the ball went where it was supposed to go, so that is all on Pop Douglas.
Yeah, if we take it at face value, and maybe you do. I would put that on any quarterback throughout the NFL, not just Drake May. Just you huck it up at the end of the game. Like, that's on you, in my estimation. But I'd also lay this out. Number one, I said this to Andy Hart during the crossover yesterday, like, that's Van Pelt's meal ticket. You want to keep your job? Don't throw the quarterback under the bus. I also was thinking about this later in the day. Pop Douglas has called out Van Pelt a couple of times, and so maybe this is Van Pelt's way of just saying, you know what? I'm going to put it on him this time.
Yeah, but I could see we've talked about Van Pelt talking about things that Drake May needs to improve before.
Yeah, he has been critical. He actually had a larger laundry list than I liked the other week when he was going through things where
good point.
May
yeah,
could
he
improve.
Had like
yeah.
several things that you're yeah. like, all right, I think he's actually doing all right, but he was like laying it on pretty thick. So I really do think he would have added this to it as well, and just sort of because nobody is really killing Drake May. So even if Van Pelt said it was Drake May, I don't think it would have been a huge deal. I do think, you know, I don't really trust Pop Douglas to be running everything exactly right. Like, I don't trust any of these wide receivers to be doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So the fact that he was running, you know, right into a safety instead of actually getting into like the soft spot of the defense, like, yeah, it probably is on him. I mean, Drake May was trying to make a big play downfield, but that's the issue. Everybody needs to know what they're doing. And if you told me that a receiver didn't know versus May, I'm like, yeah, probably the receiver at this point.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, look, maybe that one really is on the receiver and not the quarterback. Guys, I don't want to get in the habit of putting every pick he throws at the end of the game that officially loses a game not on Drake May. Like, I don't want to play that game. One thing quickly, I'm reading here from Mark Daniels. Jerod Mayo did talk about Marcus Jones today, Keith.
Oh, good. Does he know he's on the team?
He knows
that. Which Marcus
that, yes.
Jones? Did he have to Google it?
Yeah, he may have had to Google it. This is, again, Mayo, not Van Pelt. You have this, Nick? Okay, I was going to read it. Nick has this. Here's the exchange.
We spoke with Alex yesterday. Yeah. I'm curious on your guys' conversations about personnel groups.
Yeah.
Who can go where, if there are any special packages?
All the time. You know, I know this question was – I knew this question was coming, but
– Hey, I would hope.
Look, the primary focus for us this year was to get Marcus healthy and to get Marcus ready to go as a cornerback and a punt returner. And that was the primary goal, and that was our focus.
There are,
how much time do we want to spend on gadget plays? He's most valuable on the defensive side of the ball and punt return.
I would say you wouldn't wait 11 weeks for the player to bring it up if you actually had real communication there.
Seriously.
That is a, all right, I have a day to think of an excuse, and probably somebody else gave him that excuse.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, Gerard, use this. He's coming off an injury, and it's just gadget plays. Everyone's making too big a deal out of it. Go with that.
Oh, man.
Because you guys look incompetent right now, so... come up with something. Oh, I knew this question was coming.
No, how about that? Mayo, I knew I was going to get asked this one. Yeah, did you?
Did you? And that's what you came up with?
Stacy tell you beforehand? Is that, you predicted a question about this was going to come? How'd you see that one coming? Wow, what? It was way to stay ahead of the curve that you saw that question coming. Of course it was going to get asked.
If they really had their ducks in a row, which they don't.
No, they don't.
What would have happened is Van Pelt's original answer would have been like, hey, we knew that this year we needed to get him right defensively, and you see what a weapon he is on punts, and we were going to eventually work it in. Not, I had to Google which Marcus Jones it was. I found out it was him, and he told me he played offense. That's insane.
Unbelievable.
Because even if Mayo is telling the truth at all, which he's not, but if he was, Van Pelt would still know that at some point you could use him.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, week 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want to throw him out there. Like, we want to make sure he's healthy. Okay, fine. But no, that nobody's buying that one. Nice try from Mayo.
I would not. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. You can also text the show 37937. I like this. Someone needs to ask Covington why he calls zone defense. They've been getting torched in zone all year. Maybe we can do that when DeMarcus Covington joins us here today on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday. I will also ask him about the lack of communication, because there clearly was a lack of communication about playing Marcus Jones on offense. You can jump in here, but it is a Friday, a Patriots Friday, which means it's time now for a four-pack of questions related to the Patriots and the Dolphins. Billy Lanny, what's our first question?
First question, who will win the Super Bowl next, the Patriots or the Dolphins?
I'll go with the Patriots on this. It might be a long time for both. I think the way the Dolphins are set up right now, they're kind of that fringe in, fringe out playoff team, which, unlike baseball and hockey, those teams don't win the Super Bowl. You know, like they you don't really win the whole thing that way. Very few examples, maybe like the Eli Giants, but like there's very few examples of that. So like their ceiling right now seems to be good, not great. The Patriots, I get it. They're a long way away. They're 3-8. But it all comes back to Drake May. A lot of times when we answer questions about which team you would rather be and long term success, it seems like maybe you have the quarterback that in a couple of years can get you in that conversation. So I'll say New England has a better chance of winning next than Miami.
So I agree. Miami might make the playoffs before the Patriots. They probably will make the playoffs before the Patriots. They can make it this year, I guess. I wouldn't wager on it, but they could. Not to spoil any upcoming questions.
Jeez, Jones.
But we're talking about...
spoil key next?
We're talking about...
Don't you dare.
The ceiling for these teams. And when you have a potentially elite quarterback, I think it's... I like Tua more than most. I think we can all safely assume he's not an elite quarterback. No. So you potentially have the elite QB here. Miami's had plenty of talent. They haven't sniffed a Super Bowl in forever. So I likewise would go with the Patriots. What else, Billy?
Is Dan Marino the best football player that never won a Super Bowl?
Okay, so my short answer would be yes. Do you agree with that, Keith? And then we can get into who else it might be, or do you not agree that it's Dan Marino?
I say no. I think he could very well be the best quarterback ever to not win, but the best player, I could be biased because they're two of my favorite players, but I would look at Barry Sanders and Randy Moss.
Okay, so those are my, if it's not Marino, and I do think it's Marino, if it's not, I was going to ask you to choose between those two. Who is the most deserving that didn't win out of Sanders and Randy Moss, because those are my next two as well.
Probably Barry Sanders, I think, because like reluctantly, I would have to say Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver of all time. Moss is second. Whereas to me, Barry Sanders is the greatest running back to ever play and just was not on a lot of good teams. There's actually that documentary about Sanders, which is really good, where they had a couple years where they were actually pretty decent, and then they just didn't capitalize on it at all. And then he obviously retired kind of early, but he was always so dominant. And I thought... yeah, I think pound for pound, or just, yeah, best player, best football player without a Super Bowl victory, I would still say Barry Sanders.
So I also would say it's Barry Sanders for this reason. You want a tiebreaker between those two, and Moss was great, but you want a tiebreaker between those two? I think there were times where Moss hurt his team on the field. You know, the distraction, the Randy ratio, all this stuff. Did that ever happen with Barry Sanders? Like, no, I just think
Randy carried that team to Randy, as far as they could go.
When he wasn't committed, could be a detractor or detract from the team. I don't think that happened with Barry Sanders. So if it's not Marino, I would agree with you. I think it's Barry Sanders.
Marino definitely the best quarterback, right? Like, I don't even know who the next best quarterback is without one.
Good question.
There's probably a list of older guys, like for our generation.
Like Fran Tarkenton or somebody.
Yeah, like honestly, like Dan Fouts, like people would bring those guys up probably. Right. But like most of the all-time
recent
quarterbacks,
vintage quarterbacks, they all
kind of have one.
They all win, which is another reason why I think it's, you might think it's crazy to say the Patriots are going to win before the Dolphins, but that's the reason why. I think that illustrates it.
Yep.
What's next, Billy?
Will the Dolphins make the playoffs this year?
Wow, Jones, what do you think?
I do not think that, Keith, shockingly. What do you think?
So I do think if they – I think they're going to win on Sunday, not to give everything away for the whole show.
Come on.
That'll get them to 5-6. But I just you know me. I like Cincinnati despite their record. Every week Cincinnati loses, and I'm like, don't rule out Cincinnati. In a head-to-head, I have Cincinnati, although right now both are out. And I also like Bo Nix. I believe. So the Broncos are hanging on to a playoff spot. You have the Bengals right there. I do not believe in the Colts. So I could see the Dolphins maybe passing the Colts, but there's too many teams in the way. So, no, I think this is going to be the first year that Mike McDaniel misses the playoffs.
Flood of texts, by the way, for Jim Kelly. Like a ton of them at 37937. Is he the next best quarterback after Marino to not win? Probably. Yeah,
yep.
That's right.
Good point.
That was an oversight on our part.
Jim Kelly's the next best one. So, those two guys get brought up. It's like the Charles Barkley, Karl Malone debate. You know, like the best guys that have never won it. Like they always get brought up. And in football, it's... That might be. We did a big mouse Rushmore
yesterday. Yes. Yeah.
That would probably be the Rushmore, right? Especially for our generation, it would be Marino, Kelly, Randy Moss, Barry Sanders.
I'd say that's right.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want like Junior Seau or somebody like that on the list, I would say that's probably right.
Billy mentioned Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez is a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Arcan's a big Tony Gonzalez guy.
That's a good one.
Prefers him to Gronk for his career.
That's insane.
I likewise think that's insane, but he would probably argue for Tony Gonzalez.
That's an insane take. You can save that for 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that comes your way at 2. You're on a Patriots Friday. Stay tuned for it. What's our last question, Billy?
Last question. How many receivers in the NFL are better than Tyreek Hill?
I'm going to say 4. What do you think of this list? Okay, and tell me if I'm missing anyone. This is what I came up with. Jamar Chase, agree or disagree?
Agree.
Justin Jefferson, agree or disagree?
Agree.
It has not been a good year for CeeDee Lamb, but CeeDee Lamb, agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay. And then I would also put, I think I'm on Ra on that list.
Ooh. Yeah.
I would. But I would have Tyreek Hill, I think, 5th. Am I missing anybody else?
A.J. Brown?
I think I would take Tyreek Hill over A.J. Brown, but that's a really good one and it's close.
I think, he very well could be 5th because Devontae Adams has obviously fallen off a little bit. I probably would have had him up there. Steph Diggs is hurt. He would have been sort of like, he's at least in the mix. Cooper Kupp.
I mean, A.J. Brown, out of those names to me, is by far the closest one. Like Nico Collins is having a phenomenal year before he got hurt. Maybe it's too early to put him up there.
I think 5th.
I like DK Metcalf a lot, but 5 is about right. Like maybe it's not Amon Ross St. Brown. Maybe it's A.J. Brown instead, but let's split the difference and say he's number 5 in the league. I think that's right.
I mean, he's obviously cooled off quite a bit this year because of what's been around him. Like he is nowhere near the kind of normal pace that he's on. I think right now, he's actually projected for under 1,000 yards.
Yeah, well, he's been playing hurt.
Yeah.
On top of that, which I think hurts him. But I would still believe in his talent. Twitch chat says Mike Evans. That's a pretty good name. That's another guy.
Evans is always good. He gets overlooked.
Well, Mike Evans, I don't know if it's a decade now, if it's 10 or 11 years, whatever the streak is. He's had 1,000 yards every year to start his career. That's in jeopardy because he's been hurt. That's a good name.
It is. Evans is awesome. I feel like every year it's in jeopardy and then he gets it.
Yeah.
It's like, this might be the year. Oh, no, 1,000 yards.
He pops a hamstring every year, and that's every year they're like, oh, this is it. He's not going to get it. And then he does.
Yeah. So we'll see if he pulls that off. I would take Tyreek Hill over Mike Evans, but that's a good name to at least bring up. Yeah. There you go. Friday 4-pack every Friday. 4-pack of questions for Patriots and Dolphins. I do my best not to spoil them every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Maybe failed today. We'll get to Keefe's keys at 1 o'clock. I got the fob shaking here. You got the... he does have the keys. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. Keith's ready to go. Those are at 1 o'clock. Wait, hold that. Don't make any bets yet, okay? Don't make any bets for Patriots Dolphins until you hear all the keys. And I mean all. the keys to the game this weekend. Keith will have you covered from every angle. We'll get into that. We still have our guests, one TBD, the other DeMarcus Covington here on a Patriots Friday. All times, of course, TBD. We never know anything here on a Patriots Friday. And we'll get to the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going!
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
And what a week it has been here on Jones and Keith, WEEI. And let's just dive right into it, Jones, because... This past Monday, we started a brand new feature, I think, to rousing success. Every Monday, we have the privilege of speaking with Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez, and we thought we would change it up a little bit, talking with Gonzo with our brand new man-to-man-to-man segment with Gonzo.
It's man-to-man coverage. Quick hitters with Christian Gonzalez.
All right, first one. What was your first big purchase after signing your NFL contract?
First big purchase. Probably my car.
Christian, would you rather be 8 feet tall or 4 feet tall?
Probably 8 feet.
Would you rather be really hot or really cold?
Cold.
Christian, do you believe in aliens?
I mean, I think there's other life forms. I don't know about, like, green aliens, you know, TV.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Nah.
Would you rather, this is a tough one, would you rather have body odor, BO, or would you rather smell it?
Smell it.
What video game have you played the most in your life?
The most in my life? Probably Fortnite.
Okay. Christian, you come on this show every single week here on WEEI. What is the name of this radio show?
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
What is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, Stand By Me.
Oh. Final one. This is another big one. Would you rather have a third nipple or would you rather have an extra toe?
Extra toe.
All right. I think we learned a lot today. That's how you play man to man to man. What'd you think?
Those were some crazy questions. That was cool.
Fair enough.
All right, fair.
We're going to trot that back next week, Jones. So on Monday. So between now and then, feel free to send us some questions for Gonzalez. And based on those, we will probably use yours, whatever you have.
I would say 100%. So I actually asked Billy. I'm happy you just sent that out. Well, I asked Billy to tweet from the show account. We'll prompt people on social media to crowdsource any questions in that style that you'd like for Christian Gonzalez. I guess you can text him in as well, 37937. But I like re-listening to that. He'd like to be an 8 foot tall man with an extra toe who does not stink. He can smell other people's stink, but does not smell.
I'd probably go 4 feet extra nipple.
With the BO?
No, I would agree with him on that. I don't want to be a stinky guy. You got enough uphill climb at 4 feet tall as it is. I don't need to also stink.
Right. No, that's fair. So yeah, we'll put that out on social media at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Send us any questions you got. We'll be sure to fire those up for man to man to man on Monday with Christian Gonzalez.
I feel like you can hide the nipple more than the toe.
Oh, easy. You know, I love a flip flop, Keith, and so yeah, you can't be hiding any extra toes in a flip flop.
You're at the pool. You're at the beach. Yeah. It's like, what the hell? Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, the week wasn't over after Monday, Jones. There were plenty more great shows, including on Tuesday, where we had the triumphant return of Scoops Keefe.
Let me give you something else here.
Yeah,
he was 70-91 in his career with a 4.68 earned run average.
Okay. Not a big K per nine guy. What do you got?
All right. Anything Twitch else? Chat says Pat Rapp.
He got it.
Wow. Pat Rapp. I don't remember Pat Rapp as a starter, really.
All right. I think I have the scoop.
Do you?
You ready for the scoop?
Scoop away.
Ready for the scoop?
We've been on pins and needles. Wait, wow.
Pins and needles.
Back to back with the random baseball player. Holy smokes. What's the scoop today, Keith?
Jim Montgomery is out. Joe Sacco taking over.
What a scoop.
How about that?
What a scoop.
So, that was
two hours later, the Bruins announced it.
Yeah. Yeah, like 3 hours later.
Yeah,
maybe.
three hours later.
We were out in front. Yeah. We were out in front of it. We had it, and we had it first. And you would think the local media, Jones, the local Bruins media might be like, hey, that's nice. At least a Boston guy got it, and it wasn't like a national guy. Maybe we'll give him credit. That didn't happen.
No.
That's never going to happen.
Well, your inbox must be full now from all the Bruins beat writers, right? Sending you notes and congratulatory
Congrats,
messages.
Yeah, way to go, Keith. Yeah. It's not that, Jones. Huh. As we talked about on Wednesday, they hate it.
The local guys, Jones, hate it. They hate it.
Yeah, I didn't see many on the local beat.
Scott McLaughlin.
Giving you any credit. Oh, yeah, McLaughlin.
Scott
sure.
McLaughlin
yep.
will do it.
Yep.
WEEI.com. He probably feels like he has to.
Yeah.
But no, but he...
Yeah, did he really want to? That's the question.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. If he was working somewhere else, would he? I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. I think he would.
Yeah.
Good guy. But everybody else just like ignores it, puts their nose in the air. And that, you know what? That's okay. That's my lot in life. You know, they want to continue to cover the team. Great. Not break stories. Awesome. But I'll be here and I'll break some stories along the way.
No, they're bitter. They're bitter. Is what they are. I go to morning skates. I go to games.
Yep.
I go to practices. I suck up to
Do
players.
You know
I suck up
the
coaches. I suck up to press people who work in the press media relations.
Right.
And I do all this. I waste all this time, and I never get a scoop like this.
No.
Meanwhile, Rich Keefe sits here, gets a text, and has the scoop.
It's a text.
And so, you know, you can
talking about random baseball players of the day. Next thing you know, like, oh, by the way, Jim Montgomery's fired.
So they're bitter.
What the hell?
They don't like their jobs.
They're mad.
And they're big mad about it, Keith.
They're big mad about it.
At some point, the local Bruins media will acknowledge the best Bruins reporter in the town. It's not close. When it comes to a scoop.
For breaking news and scoops, right. For breaking news and scoops.
Not tongue-in-cheek, not a joke.
Yep.
When it comes to a Bruins scoop, there's no one better in this city than Rich Keefe. I stand by that. I stand by that, Keefe.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, who am I to stand in the way and argue that? And then lastly, Jones made an emergency madness yesterday because there was a gentleman in New Hampshire that reportedly had 150 mice he wanted to give to an animal shelter. Turns out he was a little misleading. It was 150 tanks of mice, which were all breeding with each other, and it was outrageous. But then that led us to talking about the most important and the most significant mice in the world, leading to a Mount Rush mouse.
More mice here, Keith?
Yeah. Speedy Gonzales, great one.
Speedy Gonzales, is that a problematic one these days? I don't know.
Speedy Gonzales?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's probably fine.
How about Mighty Mouse? You said Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse was like the first one we said.
Speedy Gonzales
was the fastest mouse in all of Mexico.
What about Jerry?
Oh, yeah, Tom and Jerry.
We missed Jerry.
We missed the goat.
Yeah, Jerry might be the goat.
Mount Rushmore of mice.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Speedy Gonzales.
Sure.
Mighty. And
Ralph S. Mouse.
Ralph S. Mouse. I'd make a strong case for Ralph S. Mouse.
No!
Pinky and the Brain, we missed them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That feels like a miss for you. Feifel?
Yeah, Feifel's good.
Oh, yeah. You didn't
Pinky
like that
and the Brain.
Pinky and the Brain you liked.
Pinky and the Brain's a good one.
And then
I
missed out.
I don't know if they cracked the Rushmore, though.
Okay.
I think it's hard to knock off Speedy Gonzales. Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, I think you can
Jerry.
Knock Ralph S's.
Ralph S. Mouse is on my Rushmore.
Ride your motorcycle right off that. By the way, it's not a Mount Rushmore. Keith, I missed this. It's a Mouse Rushmore.
Mount Mousemore. No, it's not there. We don't have it. We lost it.
Mount Rushmouse.
There it is.
There it is. That's the one. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback. You got
Mickey Mouse, actually.
Yeah, big miss.
Man, oh, man. We're morons.
Too obvious,
Keith. Who do you take off?
Yeah, it's too bad.
I'll take Ralph S. Mouse off.
That one's too obvious.
No, he's on there. Ultimately, Mickey
we
Mouse.
We missed Mickey. That was a big miss.
And I also don't know if it's a Mouse Rushmore or a Mount Rushmouse, which is better. And then from the clouds, Davey from the Dork podcast, he came in with a Mount Ratmore where he had four of the best rats.
Wow. One-upping us.
He one-upped us with his Rat Rushmore. And it had like Rizzo the Rat. It had the Ratatouille, the Chef Rat.
Splinter from the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, great one. Was he on there?
Yeah,
he better be on there. Yeah,
Splinter was in there. I forget who the fourth one was, but it was a good list. Yeah.
Nice. Good work. We had a few oversights, Keith, at 37937 on players to not win a Super Bowl. Similar to how we missed out on Mickey Mouse yesterday. Megatron?
I think Randy Moss is a better receiver than Megatron.
But yeah, but that's an omission.
Oh, he's a good one, though. Yeah, he's a real good one.
For quarterbacks in recent vintage who haven't won, Philip Rivers. I never liked Philip Rivers very much.
No, he's not Marino or Kelly.
Okay. So those are things we have potentially missed.
Yeah, those are bad.
We also missed some new... Daniel Jones released by the Giants.
I saw that.
Requested his release. The team obliged, released by the Giants. So,
you see his press conference yesterday? It was very strange. Where he basically did everything but quit. He was just like, I love the fans. I tried my best. It wasn't good enough. And blah, blah, blah. And you're like, are you quitting?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Are you quitting right now? And then apparently after that, he then asked for his release, which they're going to release. So... at least the Giants paid him, though, and not Saquon Barkley. That was smart.
No, that's a good move. A classic move by them. A great, great decision by the new regime. They're all we all watched it in real time on Hard Knocks. So great work there. That's the Week in Review on Jones and Keefe every Friday. On a Patriots Friday, we'll get to Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock sharp. We have guests from the Patriots, DeMarcus Covington, and a player, TBD, still to join us here on a Patriots Friday. We'll get deeper into the Patriots and the Dolphins. We'll also get back into Robert Kraft being left out of the Hall of Fame. Why is he still waiting, and will it ever happen for Robert Kraft? That's next.